And he was honest inside and out. A man of his word who was totally devoted to God. So one would say Job was a good man, right? And he hated evil with a passion. Now what always surprises me with this text is, they says one day the angels came to report to God. Makes sense, right? They reported. And Satan also showed up. Satan showed up. Because one has to remember Satan was an angel who was then thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. But Satan showed up and God singled out Satan and is saying something to Satan. Now why would God talk to Satan, right? It is complicated, this text. And what have you been up to? God said to Satan, what have you been up to? And Satan answered God and says, oh, I'm going here and there checking things out. He's saying he's going to and fro and he's checking things out. And then God said to Satan, have you noticed my friend Job? I don't want God to say that to Satan concerning me. Don't notice me, Satan, right? But in this text, it says, have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him, is there? Honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil. He still has a firm grip on his integrity. God is now boasting on Job, right? And he said, you tried to trick me into destroying him, but it didn't work. And Satan answered, a human would do anything to save his life. So Satan's proposal here was, but he says, but what do you think what would happen if you reached down and took away his health? So Satan is now saying to God that Job is devoted to him because life is okay. Things are going well for Job. Things are going well. That's why he loves you. He's devoted to you because you've been good to him. But what if you reached down and took away his health? He'd curse you to your face. That's what the Message Bible says. And God says, all right, go ahead. You can do what you like with him, but mind you do not kill him. Right? So God gives Satan, oh Lord, the authority to do what he wants to do with Job, except to kill him. I don't want to be Job, Lord. And his wife, Satan now, Job is in trouble. Job gets sick, has ulcers and all kinds of things all over his body, and they itched and hooves and all of that, and more things are going to happen to Job. And Job is sitting there and he's going through a difficult time. And his wife said, you're still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Curse God and be done with it. Right? She says, it's a human response, you know. You know, I know we wouldn't do it, but we're not in Job's, you know, we're listening to the story, aren't we? She says, curse God and be done with it. And he told her, you're talking like an empty-headed fool, says the Message Bible. We take the good days from God, and why not also the bad days? Not once through all this did Job sin. He said nothing against God. Right? He said nothing against God. Now, two responses to suffering. Number one, trusting God in trial. Or number two, doubting and questioning. I believe there's two responses to suffering. Either we are trusting God through the trials, or we're going to doubt and question God, right? So let me give you two reflections, opposite sides, right, of this argument. One, trusting God through the trial, and one, questioning and doubting. And I am not proposing one is right or wrong, because we each have to accept, do what we have to do for ourselves. Amen? Now, and this one, Haitians devastated by earthquake, keep hope in God. It says, on January 12, 2010, a massive and devastating earthquake struck just outside Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. Countless buildings in the city collapsed, and over 100,000 lives were lost. The already shaky power grid was effectively destroyed, along with every other form of infrastructure. That night, with the aftershocks rolling through the ground, almost all the residents of the city and the surrounding countryside stayed outside, torn with grief and fear. The residents of the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere had little access to the easy, everyday life of technology, even before the earthquake. And now, with their world in ruins, they had none. An article in the NPR summarized it this way. For the Western Hemisphere's poorest country, the earthquake that hit Haiti in January 2010 was especially cruel below. Especially cruel. Despite this, it's hard to find a Haitian who doesn't profess a belief in a loving God. Very hard to find. And I worship with some of them. It was a church in my other church I was. And during that time, no matter how bad it is, they would come together and pray. And the writer says, they sang. He says, when you don't have technology, you still have a song. When you've lost everything, in fact, you still have a song. All over the hills of Haiti, those first terrible nights, under the starlit sky, the voices of the people of Haiti rose up in grief and lament, in prayer and in hope. They had something we almost lost, and they still have it. As anyone who has visited a Haitian church or family knows, we can have it in our homes and in our churches too, if we choose not to let technology do this singing for us. They never gave up singing and praying, even though they had lost everything and hundreds of thousands have died. That's one response, huh? Trusting God in the trial. The next response comes from HBO host John Oliver. You all know of John Oliver. He struggles with tragedy and God's will. John Oliver, the host of the satirical news show, HBO's Last Week Tonight, was interviewed by Terry Gross on Fresh Air. Gross asked him, did you go to church a lot when you were growing up? Oliver responded, I did until I was like 11 or 12, and I just didn't believe in it. There were too many. There were some bad things happening then, and I didn't care. I didn't feel like there were any answers. I just didn't feel like there were any answers I liked coming from the church I went to. There were kids at school who died, and my uncle dying was really devastating to me. And I just didn't feel like when you ask like a hard question and you were kind of brushed off, well, you know, it's God's will. He says, they always say it's God's will. That kind of knocked me out. If that's true, then I want nothing to do with this. But you just can't say that it's God's will for these kids at school dying for no reason. That's just not a good enough answer. You've got to wrestle with it a bit more than that. Right? So his response is saying, you know, you just can't say it's God's will. You have to wrestle with it. You have to wrestle with it. Friends, today, I bring these two stories to you because I want to say we make our choices, don't we? There are those of us with deep faith or strength that we choose, no matter what, to trust God. No matter what. and there are those who don't. And it's okay because God will meet us where we are. God meet each and of us where we are. I trust God, and I trust God through all things, but I do wrestle. I am somewhere in the middle. I do wrestle with it. Wrestle when I see deep suffering. Wrestle when I see deep pain. I always turn back to God. I never lose my faith in God, but I do wrestle with hurt and pain in the world. And we should not feel embarrassed about that, right? Because we are different parts of a journey. You see, we don't need to find suffering because suffering will find us. We know that suffering will find us. You know why suffering finds us? Suffering will find us because we live in a fallen world. The world has sin and the world has evil. And because of that, we live in a fallen world and there are fallen people in the world. Because we are not perfect people, we will make bad choices which create negative consequences. As fallen people, our genetic code is fallen, making us susceptible to disease and illnesses. Doesn't mean that we cause disease and illnesses on ourselves at all. And in this fallen world, because the world is fallen, we can experience suffering due to poor decision making of others, accidents, natural disaster, and terrorism are all consequences of a fallen world, friends. We live in a fallen world. And suffering, my third point here, will find us because we are Christians. I think because we follow Jesus, everybody suffers. But I think because we're Christians and we're seeking to follow the Lord, trouble comes our way. That's what happened with Job. He was a believer. He was devoted to God. And Satan wants to mess him up. Right? Satan wants to mess up believers. Not non-believers, because he already got non-believers. Right? Satan comes after believers and want to mess us up. Right, friends? And so, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us we would be persecuted in this world. As we obey him, we will experience negative consequences by those who do not follow him. Suffering is a guaranteed aspect of living in this world. It is also an assured characteristic of following Jesus. Yet, because of the Christian story, we can approach suffering differently. While most people try to avoid suffering or deny it, Christians can lean into it, learn how to go through it. How do we respond to suffering as Christians? Right? The book of Job shows us that suffering is not a sign of God's absence. Suffering is not a sign of God's absence. God is in the midst of our suffering with us. If you finish reading the book of Job, all 42 chapters, you will see that God is in the midst of Job's life. It is not always a result of our poor decision making at all. Suffering will occur, and when it happens, we should not be shocked by it. Because if you live long enough, something is going to happen. But here's my point of what we should not do. The first thing I'd like to propose to you Christian believers, those who are watching and those who are here, do not curse God. First point. If you're a believer, when trouble comes, suffering comes, do not curse God. Be like Job in that case. Because cursing God is not going to get us anywhere. Cursing the creator of the universe is not going to relieve our problems, friends. Don't curse God. Because Job's wife said to him, curse God and die. Why don't you just curse God and die? Don't curse God, friends. Just be like Job and know that God is in it with you. God is in it with you. All right? The second point, be careful whom you listen to. Be careful. Job's friends were not good for him. They tried to tear his spirit down. When you read the rest of Job, They tried to blame Job. They pointed their fingers at Job. They told him that he must have done something wrong, and he must have done that. Be careful when you're going through whom you listen to, friends. Right? Because they could make you steer down your spirit and your soul and make you worse off than you are. You need to be with folks who will say, I'm praying for you. Or they're not saying, I'll be there. I'll hold your hands. Right? Or be there with you in silence. Right? For those who love Jesus, a day will come in which he will wipe every tear away. There will be no more death, suffering, or sorrow. That's what the scripture tells us. Yet our hope is more than just in the future in heaven. It is also found in the promise that God is with us in the midst of our suffering. While we're living, God is in the midst of our suffering with us. And so we can hope because we know he is with us, will empower us, and can reveal himself to us in the midst of our suffering. Friends, we have a testimony. All of us who have gone through suffering and have come out of it, we have gone through it because of God being in it with us. We don't want to, and we ought not to, turn back from God. I read this thing as I come to a close, an Israeli man seeks a restraining order against God. And they said it was a true story in Israel. He says the trials of life can cause people to doubt God's benevolence from time to time, even in the Holy Land. Israeli news sources report that a man filed a legal request for a restraining order against none other than God himself. The plaintiff, who actually appeared in court for the case, told the judge that over the past 3 years, God had been very negative towards him. He did not like what God was doing in his life. Though no specifics were recorded, court documents made note that God did not make an appearance. Humorous though this case might seem, it highlights a hard question for believers. How are we to respond to God and his love in the midst of hardships that seem to suggest his complete disregard? How do we respond? Friends, we respond by holding on. We respond by trusting in God. We respond by not letting go. Amen? That's how we respond. And in the gospel, I want to say to you from the gospel story, just this piece, friends, let us not be like the Pharisees who were always seeking to test Jesus. Every step of the way, every chance they got, they were trying to step to test Jesus and to dispute his authority as the Son of God. Let us trust Jesus' word, that he will be with us always, even until the end of the ages, that no matter what, we could call on him. As he says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And so we have to receive it. There are times where our intellect and our minds cannot fathom what God is doing in our lives. We can't figure it out. But like a child, we have to trust God. Trust him that he will bring us through the trials, through the ups and downs, through all that we are going through, no matter what. Trust him. And we remember that what happened at the end of Job. Job's health was restored. His family was restored. And friends, it doesn't always happen the way we want it. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes a loved one that we are praying for end up going home to be with the Lord. I know I've experienced that. Sometimes they don't get physically healed. Things happen, but no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. Amen? Amen. Will you trust God with me, friends? No matter what happened, we could pray and seek God. And seek God and that will that God has for that person's life may not be the will that we desire. But no matter what, God promises never to leave us nor forsake us. So it's easy to trust God, friends, when things are going right. But we must trust God in the trial. Trust Him in the trial. That's when it's difficult, Nancy. That's when it's hard to trust God in the trial. Amen. Let us make up in our minds today to trust God no matter what. He has never failed us yet. He has never failed me yet. And I want to tell the world, wherever I go, my God has never failed me yet. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.